Welcome, Drew, to Executive Peak. Drew, do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
You know, if I have a morning ritual, it's just things that I want to accomplish for the day. I give thanks that I'm healthy, that I have opportunities ahead of me, and then just the three, if not four things that I want to accomplish before the end of the day.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
Wow. I think the best over the years, probably one of the last mentors that I was with, who had said to me that we should learn to listen a little bit more. And when I'm engaged in conversation, sometimes I want to interject. I want to offer my opinion or thoughts. And what Alan told me was to just settle back and listen a little bit more. You don't always have to offer opinion. It's always good to let the other person talk as much as possible.
What is the best constructive guidance that you've given to someone?
Best constructive guidance is that people bring a lot to the table, and that many people feel very imposed that they don't believe that they have these incredible gifts and talents that have been given to them by God, and they don't know how to manifest those talents. And what I always tell people is you need to look into the mirror. You need to be confident in what your capabilities are, and you need to know that you're here for a very specific reason, and you should be joyful about that. And that in and of itself should give you enough confidence to be able to do anything and everything that you want to do in life, to be able to achieve.
Drew, what is the life mantra that you live by?
Through my many years of both personal and professional business, I've learned that you should always seek out mentors. I was a child that grew up in a very dysfunctional home, and I never had mentors. I didn't have mentors in parents, and I didn't have mentors in a lot of friends and family. And what I always say to individuals is surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with those that want to bring you and rise you to a brand new level. And so the more you can network, the more you can adjust so that you could be a student and learn from others, the better off you're going to be in life.
What is the one sport you excel at or wish you could excel at?
No, I did excel at, and I've gotten too old to compete, but very early on in life, at roughly 16 years of age, I learned and got involved in track and field. In high school, I was able to set 7 school records. I was the most valuable player and the captain of the track team. And even today, if I'm on a track, that's my sanctuary. It's what I absolutely adore, and my life dream many years ago was to be a head track and field coach. Even today, I still wish I could do that.
Well, how wonderful. I have managed track and field, so good to know that. Drew, do you have any hidden talents?
Hidden talents? I'll tell you what. one of the talents that I have And to a certain extent, it is hidden, and people have said to me for years I needed to do something with it. I could do roughly 75 different impersonations, and people have always said that I'm very quick-witted. To a certain extent, I may have missed my calling. Perhaps I should have gone into Hollywood or conducted voiceover. You wouldn't know with my allergies that I'm facing today, but because of the fact that I could do 75 different impersonations, I think people think of that for myself, and even for myself as a hidden talent.
What is the most courageous thing you've done in the past year?
Given everything that's gone on with the pandemic, I think, if anything, the most courageous thing has just moved forward. I think so many people have become so insulated. They've stayed inside. They've put the masks on. They don't want to be out with people. I've been out with clients since literally April and May of last year. I've had a mask on, and I've done the right things, maintaining social distance. But I think from a courageous thing you know, it's a matter of not letting the media beat you down, not letting politicians bring you down, and truly know that, you know, I have gifts to bear, A, and B, that I have a life to live, and I'm not going to live that life in fear.
When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
You know, that's an interesting question. I tend to go with my gut, but over the years I've become very spiritual. And so I do listen to the little voice in my head, and I do tend to listen to to my heart a lot more. I am very pragmatic. And so the aspect is, because of that pragmatism, it tends to lead me one way, and sometimes I forget what the heart is saying. Just have a little bit of faith, have more faith, believe in hope a little bit more. And once I do that, it stands to reason that things for me seem to go a lot better.
True. If you could redo any life experience, which one would it be?
Oh, my goodness. That's a wide-open question. you know, to a certain extent, because of my age, Michael Jackson hit me with a phrase many years ago when he was going through a lot of tumult when he was live. And he said, you know, one of the misgivings that I have as an adult is I never had a childhood. And to a certain extent, I do believe in that for myself. I have missed the childhood because of the dysfunction, and I would love to get some of those days back. If I could relive those, that would be a blessing in disguise.
Do you have a perfect retirement destination?
yes and no. And I say that because years ago, my wife and I were able to visit with the country known as Belize, which is down in the Latin America, an absolutely gorgeous place. Love the water, love the food, love the people. But most recently, we bought a resale home on a lake. So, and I'm an Aquarius and a Pisces by nature. So I don't know if I have to travel that far anymore to get to the water, because it's going to be right outside my front door. But I would say if I had the choice, it would probably be Belize for sure.
True. What is your favorite comfort food?
Oh, my heavens. Favorite comfort food? You know what? Because it reminds me of my grandmother. It's two things, actually. Coffee and matzah. I was born and raised as a Jewish person, and my grandmother was Yiddish, spoke Yiddish around the house. 3 o'clock every day, she would get out her Sanka or Maxwell House coffee. We would have coffee together. She would put butter on her matzah and sit and read the paper. And those were my favorite times as a kid growing up. So even today, it's still comfort food for me.
If you only had $10 left, what would you spend it on?
I'd give it to a homeless person. I think if I had $10 remaining, I would probably do something that I could either sell or work towards to get the $10 back. I think if I had $10, I'd wind up giving it to somebody else that didn't have that opportunity.
If you only had $10,000 left, what would you spend it on?
I'd probably put it into some type of an investment to put it to allow it to grow and mature over time, so that I can live, if it's only $10,000, live off of the investment returns from that investment itself.
What is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
My best things to do, number one, everybody gets a kiss goodnight. I do a couple of things. It's more routine than everything else. I lock the house, so I do check the house, and I tell everybody that it's all safe. And the last thing that I do is I actually give thanks to God for what I was able to accomplish, the goals that I was able to accomplish for the day, and then just start to think about what I'm going to prepare for tomorrow.
Drew, are there any initiatives you host or causes you support?
Absolutely. As an adult survivor of child abuse, I would love to get active and involved in an organization like that for sure, or create one. And my grandmother, who I spoke of a little while ago, died of Alzheimer's, and I would also like to get involved with something of that nature, too, to help individuals, because that it is a devastating disease. But child abuse is also a silent killer. So being able to give back and be philanthropic like that for sure is something I would want to do.
And finally, what do you do and where can people contact you?
Best ways to get a hold of me, actually, is my website, which is www.drew-stevens.com. They can send me an email at drew@drew-stevens.com, or they can call me directly at 314-574-9716. And I do answer all calls, and I return all calls, actually, within 90 minutes or less.
Thank you, Drew, for sharing your wisdom on Executive Peaks.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.